Now we turn to Matthew chapter 12, as the Lord Jesus Christ continues to unpack for us what it's like for him to interact with a wicked generation. He's telling a parable, and we know that because of the way that he makes the point in verse 45. So Jesus is driving toward a point, and he tells this mysterious story about an unclean spirit that goes out of a man and then begins to wander, eventually concluding that this evil spirit, this unclean spirit, wants to go back home where he was before. But he doesn't want it to be a clean place. He wants it to be a very unclean place. That's what Jesus is talking about. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. The precious word of the living and the true God. Jesus has been in a debate with the Pharisees about casting out unclean spirits. It started in verse 22 as someone was brought to him who was blind and dumb and possessed with a devil, and Jesus healed him, casting out this unclean spirit so that the man might be able to speak and see. And the Pharisees said that he did this by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus went on to explain that the kingdom cannot be divided against itself. It would be foolish and counterproductive for Satan to fight this way, that also he casts out devils by the Spirit of God. It's very important that Jesus explains that he casts out devils by the Spirit of God. And then we come back to this story. And the Lord Jesus Christ talks about an unclean spirit that's gone out of a man. We don't know exactly how. Maybe cast out, maybe leaving, wandering. This unclean spirit goes out, but the problem, you see, that Jesus is emphasizing in this story that he tells is that the unclean spirit goes out and nothing replaces where he was. That's the key to understanding this story. Because what Jesus is ultimately talking about here is something that he has already revealed to us in verse 30. He says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. In other words, with Jesus Christ, there is no neutral ground. That's what he says in Luke chapter 11, and verse 23, before this very same story is given. And that's what he says in verse 30 here. There's no neutral ground. So when this unclean spirit goes out, that place where the unclean spirit was, that cannot be a place that just sits there vacant. And that's what Jesus is talking about, that house. And he's talking about that house as he's speaking of an entire generation. He's speaking about people that try to maintain neutrality. And Jesus is saying, you're either for me or against me. When an unclean spirit goes out, there has to be something to replace that unclean spirit. We go on with the story. Jesus talks about this unclean spirit going out of a man and walking through dry places. There was an understanding that people had that perhaps the places where the demons were most were the dry desert places. Sort of puts a different spin on Jesus being tempted in the wilderness in chapter 4. as the devil comes up to him. Jesus is in the place where everybody thought the demons like to hang out. This place that has no blessing from God. This arid place on the earth. That's where the demons are. That's what everybody thought. And Jesus is talking about this unclean spirit going out, walking through dry places and seeking, ironically, seeking rest. This isn't the kind of rest that Jesus was talking about in chapter 11, is it? Remember what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In that place where the unclean spirit left, there was supposed to be a response to Jesus Christ, a response to his call to discipleship, a response to his kingdom rule. In fact, what Jesus said in verse 28 is that he casts out devils by the Spirit of God, and then the kingdom of God has come unto you. What needs to be replaced when that unclean spirit leaves is the absence of a response to Jesus Christ. A response to him that's given by the Spirit. There needs to be a Spirit-filled place so that an unclean spirit cannot come back. This unclean spirit is out in the desert places looking for rest. Looking for a place to find rest. What is an unclean spirit think is a good place to rest? He's not finding it. Look at what it says. He looks for rest, seeking rest, and findeth none. No rest. And then this unclean spirit, sort of like the perverse backwards prodigal son story, realizes, hey, back home, where I was before. Inside that person, inside that house, that's where I will go. And he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and whence he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Put into perfect order. Everything is clean. The unclean spirit is gone. The place is now clean. It's in order. Everything's okay, right? But you need to remember what we've already seen, that the Lord Jesus Christ casts out demons by the Spirit. The design is for the Spirit to live there, not for the place to be clean and empty, put in order, and vacant. So then it's an opportunity for the unclean spirit. It's like the criminal returning to the scene of the crime. Hey, there's more we can do here. I'm going to go get my buddies. And Jesus isn't giving us a lecture on demonology, but he does say that this unclean spirit takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. What is he saying? He's saying that it's getting more intensely evil. Seven is the number for completeness. All of these unclean spirits, now eight of them, heading right back to that place that was clean and swept and put in order. But they didn't have the protective presence of the Spirit. And Jesus is comparing that situation to the wicked generation that was before him in his day. It's language that is used in Deuteronomy 1, verse 35. Language that is spoken of a particular generation, an evil generation. But Jesus uses this language of a wicked generation to speak of people who did not have the protective presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they did not put their faith in the King. The one who cast out spirits, or cast out evil, unclean spirits, devils, by the Spirit of God, so that the kingdom of God would arrive. Jesus says that when these seven other spirits, more wicked than the first unclean spirit, enter in and dwell in that house, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now we know exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about a man. He's talking about a man who is worse off than he was before. The house is a man. A man who's worse off, even though cleaned up, even though everything seemed to be in order, there was a vacancy in that person's life. There was a hole that the unclean spirits entered through. They were supposed to have the Spirit protecting them. The Spirit of the living God that comes from Jesus Christ. Without that Spirit, the last state of that man, Jesus says, is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Quite striking words. Jesus is talking about the danger of neutrality. The neutrality that does not find the active presence of the Holy Spirit inside one's life to protect from the unclean spirits. You know who Jesus is talking about in part? The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, the people that claimed to be able to evaluate whether Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, or not. And they said that he was. But it turns out that they're not experts in understanding what unclean spirits do. Jesus says that when someone tries to clean up their life, when a wicked generation tries to clean up its life, apart from the means that God has provided, they're unprotected. They're like a home with no security system. Clean, set in order, looks really good, but no protection against evil getting worse and worse and worse. And Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Verse 30. He's giving us the clue to moving into a place of protection. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this: and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In that passage, we learn, as we do in other places in Scripture, the language of being filled with the Spirit. This is the protected place. This is the place that the unclean spirits cannot enter. This is the place that protects us from getting worse and worse, like that wicked generation. And it's interesting how this language of being filled with the Spirit is unpacked in these verses. First of all, we learn about public worship. We learn about singing the Psalms. We learn about singing with melody in our hearts to the Lord, corporate worship. But that's not the only place where we're filled with the Spirit, you see. Because the very next verse talks about giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a much broader statement. Not only when we are singing and making melody in our hearts are we filled with the Spirit, but also in giving thanks always for all things. Many of you know that there are certain times when it is very difficult to be thankful. In fact, you find yourself unwilling, unable, discouraged, angry, confused, but not thankful until you're given the power that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly everything looks different. You see, the unclean spirits don't have access to tap on you, to play on ingratitude and anger and confusion and frustration, all of those aspects of our sinful selves, because you are protected by the presence of the Spirit who makes you thankful, the same Spirit that enables you to make melody in your hearts as you sing, not only making melody so that other people can hear, but making melody in your heart from the depths of your being. That's what the Spirit does in worship. That's what the Spirit does when we give thanks for things, all things, unto God the Father. And then verse 21 talks about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's an amazing demonstration of the Spirit. When you're actually able to surrender some of your rights to serve another person in Jesus' name, that's the work of the Spirit. And you see, these are the ways that being filled with the Spirit is expanded in this passage. It goes far beyond our public worship. It goes to the depths of our being. It goes to the width of our life and those situations where we're tempted to be unthankful. But we are made able to be thankful because of the presence of the Spirit. And then finally, those situations where we, rather than promoting our own interests, look out for the interests of others. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. Because I fear God. See, this is the protective power of the Holy Spirit. That unclean spirit going back to that man's heart, going back into that man's life, pictured like a house, pictured like an entire generation, a wicked generation, prevented that man, prevented that generation from accessing the protective power of the Spirit to be able to be thankful in any situation, to be able to sing from the depths of your being because you have the Spirit of the living God, to be able to know when to serve another person in the name of Jesus Christ. The work of the Spirit, you see, protects you against unclean spirits. And these unclean spirits, the reason that they find rest in this home is because they make it so unclean that they can live there. They're actually very uncomfortable in a clean place. They would not want to dwell in a place where the Spirit of God was. Are you kidding me? You're thankful for that? Are you kidding me? You're submitting to that person because of Jesus? Are you kidding me? It's the unclean spirit. They want an unclean place. They desire to dwell in an unclean place. They wanted this whole generation to be confused about who Jesus Christ was. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ has come not only to be Lord, not only to be the King in our hearts, but to give us the Spirit to protect us, to give us the Spirit to help us. The Spirit that helps us to sing from the depths of our hearts. The Spirit that helps us to be thankful in all things. The Spirit that helps us to serve and surrender our rights where it shows the fear of God. The Spirit enables that. And the unclean spirits off to some arid place, looking for rest, hoping to find another unclean place to dwell, until they finally, at the end of the day, have to surrender to Jesus Christ and go away, never to bother a human being who has the Spirit. And you see, that life begins now, when you and I are filled with the Spirit.